This is Alive with Joseph.
We are here because Jesus Christ reigned. We are here because Jesus Christ defeated the enemy. Hallelujah. And this evening, I would like us to look into the subject, the integrity of God's word. The integrity of God's word. This evening, I would like to take us on a journey through the word of God to discover its vital importance in our daily lives. From the very beginning, we see that when God began his work on earth, he brought order out of chaos. In Genesis 1 verse 1, the earth was formless and void, state of disorder. But from Genesis 1, 2 to 25, we witness the power of God's word in action. With every command he spoke, creation responded. Light came into being, the sky were formed, the seas gathered, and life began to flourish, all by his word. These verses give us a clear picture of how essential God's word is. Not only creation, but in our own life as children of God. This shows us a powerful truth where the word of God is absent. Chaos and frustration take over. Just as God's word brought structure, beauty, and life to the earth, it brings clarity, direction, and purpose to our lives. Without it, we are left vulnerable to confusion and disorder and spiritual emptiness. When we read Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." One important truth reveals in this verse of scripture is that God created us in his own image, in the image of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The divine image was not just about appearance. It's not about how we look. It was about purpose, function, and relationship. You are here as a child of God because God has put purpose into your life. You are here to fulfill the function that God has assigned you to fulfill here on the planet Earth. Hallelujah. In the midst of that, relationship is important. Hallelujah. God entrusted man with the responsibility to manage his creation on earth. He appointed us as stewards and equipped us with necessary ability and wisdom to carry out his will effectively. In the Garden of Eden, we see this clearly. Man was given only a place to dwell, but also a calling to work, manage, care for what God has made. Our God-given function was broad and significant. We were designed to manage our families, our lives, our businesses, our careers, our garden, his work. Hallelujah. Alive Church is his garden. We are designed to manage it. Hallelujah. God placed great tasks in us to fulfill his original purpose. Even before the fall of man through Adam and Eve, that divine purpose has not changed. Though sin disrupted the plan, God's intention remains. To truly understand why the word of God is so important, we must go back to the first instruction in the Bible. By studying them deeply, our understanding will be broadened. Genesis 2. Verse 15 to 17, I'm using NIV translation. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." As we have already unpacked, God created us with the ability to work, manage, and care. Not as a burden, but with freedom and purpose. In the Garden of Eden, Adam was given access to 99% of everything in the garden. As Pastor Joseph has said before, he was free to enjoy, explore, and steward it all. That freedom, however, came with one instruction. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This command was not a punishment or restriction meant to harm Adam. Rather, it was a demonstration of the sovereignty and the importance of God's word. God's command carried within it the path, the truth, and the life. It was a divine boundary set for Adam's protection, not to harm Abraham, not to his limitation. God was essentially saying, this is my vision of this verse. I have placed my life in you. If you disobey this instruction, you will die. You will lose the likeness and the connection you were created to carry. You will no longer be as I designed you to be. The responsibility placed on Adam was simple yet profound: to maintain the order of God's word. In doing so, we will remain aligned with God's nature and purpose. God only asked Adam to leave 1% of the garden untouched. A reminder that God remains Lord over all. Your car, your house, your business, it's the Lord. God gave Adam everything in the garden, but he said, only this one tree, don't touch. Don't touch it. A reminder that God remains Lord over all. And that trust and obedience are the foundation of the relationship we have with God. Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This passage of the scripture outlines the way God designed us from the very beginning. His intention was clear. We were created to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, to subdue it, to walk in dominion. God equipped us with great potential, the ability to expand, to grow, to rise beyond our current level of development. From the start, it was evident that God desired for us to experience a life without limitation, as long as we remain within the boundaries of his will and guidance. We were never meant to live small, restricted lives. Instead, we were made to thrive, to lead, to reflect his glory in every area of our lives. Genesis 3:1-5. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. God's instruction to Adam was clear. No circumstance or situation could alter the position, the power, and the sovereignty of his word. Nothing will change the sovereignty or the instruction of God and the position of God. In the garden, we see that the enemy's primary attack was not directly on Adam or Eve. It was not. When the enemy attacks your marriage, when the enemy attacks your business, you are not the target. There is something that the enemy is looking for. And this verse, from verse 3 to 5, it explains what was directed to the man. Hallelujah. Now, in the garden, we see the enemy primary attack was directly on Adam or Eve, but on the integrity of God's word. When the servant asked, did God really say? He wasn't just questioning a command. He was planting doubt, repeating the question to Eve until it echoes in her mind, reaching to her heart. That's the purpose of the enemy. The enemy knew that if he could get to the word out of her heart, he could break down her ability to resist. That's the strategy, to weaken our defense by undermining our confidence in what God has said. This reminds us that as children of God, we have a responsibility to guard our hearts. Ephesians 6 verse 11, I'm using Amplified Classic Version. It says, put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier with God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies, the deceits of the devil. God has armed us, hallelujah, with the supply from heaven. Not man-made supplies, hallelujah, but supply from the heaven. As we explore the subject of the integrity of God's word, it's important to first understand who the word is, what the word of God is. Now we start with the word, who the word is. From the beginning, the word was not just a message, it was a person. John 1, verse 1 to verse 4. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The reason we go back to the book of Genesis is to help us understand the value and the importance of the word of God. This tells us that the word was present in the beginning of all creation. It was by the word that everything was made, and nothing was created without it. The word of God carries creative power to build, to shape, and to give life. That's why the scripture tells us, God calls things that are not as though they are, the creative power of God. Everything we see under the sun came into existence through the spoken word of God. Therefore, as children of God, it is imperative that we take his word seriously in every area of our lives. After the fall of man, God's plan for redemption came through the word, the very word that was questioned and disobeyed in the Garden of Eden, was the only one qualified to bring restoration. The word was the one qualified to bring restoration. We are here because of the word, the man Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the light of God. Hallelujah. He knew that was the only one qualified to bring restoration to mankind. So God sent his word in the flesh, Jesus, to redeem us. In his 3 years of ministry, Jesus preached the word through Israel because he knew that only the word of God has the power to restore what was lost. When Jesus died on the cross, he reclaimed the authority that man had given away through disobedience. That's why he said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. To live life more abundantly, we must fix our eyes on the word of God, which gives life and provides solution to all the problems we face. Hebrews 12 verse 2, it says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father of the throne of God to stamp the authority that the word has won. Hallelujah. God wants us to gaze intently in his word so that we can walk in his blessings. Jesus, the word, the giver of life, will reveal the hidden potential within us through his word, because the power of that word lives in us. James 1, 23 to 25 reads as follows. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, God, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Our growth is not measured by the material things we accumulate. It's not. While such things are fruits of the blessing, they are not the true measure of spiritual growth. Growth in Christ is measured by how much time we spend continually hearing his word, by how deeply the word transforms us both inside and out. The Bible in the book of Romans 12 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. In Joshua 1 verse 18, it says, we are commanded not to let the book of the law depart from our mouth, but meditate on it day and night. Why? So that we may be careful to do all that is written in it, and thereby prosper and succeed in all our ways. When we immerse ourselves in God's word daily, we begin to think, speak, and act to his will. Our minds become aligned with his truth, enabling us to walk in victory and live in step with Christ. This continual meditation renews our thinking, tune our hearts to God's frequency, and empower us to reflect the character and the mind of Jesus in every area of our lives. Daniel 2:21 to 22 says, and he changes the times and the season. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Hallelujah. Now we're going to look at what the word of God is. God's word is a documented collection of his principle, not laws, principle. Because God is not here to restrict us. He has given us freedom, but we live by principle, not by laws. Hallelujah. And promises given to guide us as we work, manage, care for what he has entrusted to us here on earth. The word of God is living and active. That's what the word of God is. Hebrews 4 verse 12. It says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the building's dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Let us activate this power of God in every area of our lives, enforcing this reality in our lives. It is living and active, the word of God. The purpose of the word of God is that everything in us must and should work in alignment with all the promises of God in our lives. The word of God is true. John 17, verse 17, it says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Psalm 119, 160, New King James Version, it says, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgment endures forever. The entirety of your word, this phrase emphasizes the completeness and absolute nature of God's word. That is, the word of God is firm, unlikely to change. It will never change. That's what the word of God is. It will never change. Isaiah 40 verse 8, it says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. Matthew 7:24-25, it says, therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. The reason God has given us his word as a firm and unshakable truth is so that we can build our life on a solid foundation. Just imagine building your house or your life in a foundation that is not stable, unstable foundation. You are likely to collapse at one point in your life. Hallelujah. One that stands strong through every season and circumstances. Matthew 7:24-25 reminds us that the wise man builds his house on the rock, the word of God. When the storm of life comes, that house will not fall because it is firmly established. Daniel 3:6-18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnaces, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. God's word, God's desire, that we stand firm in our faith, and we can learn from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood their ground, fully confident in the one they believed and trusted. No circumstance or situation could sway them. They remained resolute, even in the face of death. Our confidence must always be anchored in the word of God. If we are to conquer and fulfill what he has invested in us, our unwavering resolve does not just benefit us. It sets the foundation for generations to come. What you are doing now, it's for the generation to come. Hallelujah. You are doing it for your children. Hallelujah. Victory is already embedded within us, but it is activated when we fix our hearts and mind on the creative power of God's word. It is through his word that the dormant power within us is awakened and brought to life. Billy Hegram says, make it your goal to build strong foundation for your life. Foundation constructed from prayer and the trust of God's word. Now, the word of God is dependable, trustworthy, and reliable. Isaiah 55:11 says, so it is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose which I have set. Mark 13:31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. God himself has assured us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. And his promises are backed by his unchanging character. He always declare his word will not return to him void, but will accomplish what he pleases. Hallelujah. So children of God, cast out every doubt that may have been planted in your heart by the experiences, opinions of others. Cast it out. Fix your eyes to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. He is the one who starts. The word is the one that starts, is the one who will finish. Hallelujah. God's word is not subject to human failure. It's not subject to human failure. God's word is not subject to human. I may fail, but God will not fail. You may fail, but God will not fail. Hallelujah. It stands firm and unshakable. You can fully trust the word because God cannot lie and his word will never fail. God is faithful, always loyal and steadfast. God's faithfulness is one of his most powerful and comforting attributes. He is forever faithful And nothing can change who he is, because he is the omnipotent, unchanging God. He's loyal to his word, his promises, his people is, and his people is unwavering. Hallelujah. Scripture confirmed this truth again and again. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9. Say, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keeping his commandments. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. If he changes, he disowns himself. That's the reality of who our God is. Hallelujah. And our confidence should rest on that. Even when we fall short, he remains constant. His faithfulness is not based on our performance, but on his unchanging character. Your performance is not changing God. Hallelujah. You worship today, tomorrow you're not. He's not changing. He's not moved. Hallelujah. He's consistent. Hallelujah. Because the reality is, children of God, he is living in his past. He has finished a chapter of your life. And he came back and said, now I am with you. I am holding you. We're going to achieve it. Hallelujah. He lives in his past in your life. Therefore, this is the God that I can trust. This is the word that I can trust, because he is living in the past. Hallelujah. He's always present, always dependable, and always true to his word. The word reflects the unchanging character of God. It embodies God's consistent nature, his holiness, love, mercy, faithfulness. No matter how circumstances change, God remains the same. His word is a reflection of that truth. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, forever, today and forever. Hallelujah. Even when life feels unstable, we can trust that God is always good. And his word will never fail. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendant of Jacob, are not destroyed. James 1 verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like a shifting shadow. Children of God, when we live outside the word of God, I don't know if you know a mirage. You are chasing something that you will never catch, because it's a reflection of something. Now, as children of God, the word of God is important. My main focus this evening is this. Trust the word of God. The integrity of God's word is built on the foundation that his word is firm, dependable, faithful, and a perfect reflection of his unchanging character. Because of this, you and I carry the responsibility to reinforce that the nature and the reality of God's word in our surroundings. Your family, my family, we need to reinforce the word of God. Hallelujah. Our lives should be a living proof that the word works. There should be nothing broken, stagnant, or unfruitful around us, because we are walking on the path of truth and life. We have been restored to our original purpose, to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue, and to have dominion. This is not just a promise. It's a divine mandate, your mandate and my mandate. And God has empowered us to live in victory, not occasionally, but consistently. He's a consistent God. He expects you and I to be consistent in studying the word, in coming to church. When Pastor Joseph calls us to come to morning prayers or to join online to pray, it's so that we be consistent like he is. His nature rubs on us. The more we dwell on the word of God, the more we become like him. Jesus Christ was a prayerful man. Hallelujah. Therefore, children of God, this is all that I this evening came to deliver to us, that God has entrusted us with his word. Let us not fail Jesus. Let us not fail the Son of the living God. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. And he has left us with the Holy Spirit. When you read the Bible about the Holy Spirit, he's a helper. He's an advocate. He's the one who's standing by. You will not fail because the Holy Spirit is standing by. When you fail, he pats you at the back and say, rise up, walk. My power, my strength is in you. Hallelujah. Because the power of God is invested in. Hence, the enemy is fighting us receiving the word. You have seen in the beginning, the question that he asked was not on Adam and Eve. The question he asked in your life, it's not about you. It's not about your finances. It's not about your marriage. He wants something that you have, which Pastor Joseph was preaching about. He wants that seat. If he can take that seat out of your life, he is done, because your power and ability to resist has been taken away. Never compromise on the word of God. When you fail, rise up. And rise up and say, dear Holy Spirit, I failed, help me. He is faithful. He is good. I want us to stand up on our feet this evening.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.